Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendos, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson, and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure, if you're listening to this on the iOS podcast device, app, go ahead and leave a rating or a review, and that should help the show on the audio format side of things. It'd be much appreciated. If you also want to contribute to the show or support the show financially, you can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson and type in how much you want to give us on a monthly basis. And based on what that amount is, you get many rewards, Larson.
Yeah.
For example, if you like this live stream that you're seeing today, you can... I want to make sure you got audio.
It always mutes it.
There's audio. I did it. You can watch live streams all the time. That's right. Three of our live streams are recaps, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT 205 live recaps we do for patrons only.
Yes.
We're also available on prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. I'm gonna make a new design. Maybe today, Larson. Maybe
Good.
Today. Maybe today.
Good.
Maybe not today. I don't know. Anyways. So exciting stuff. How was your weekend?
It was all right. I was sick all weekend.
Yeah, so you sound sick
still
right now.
I feel that great. That's well, we went out. We went out the Saturday night.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of smoke. It was cold outside. Mm-hmm. And I think it just did a number on me. I was already sick.
Before we...
Now I feel like my head and my lungs are just full of crap.
Before we got together, before you came over, I said, Lace, we're going to go out to the patio area at this place. And I want you to make sure whenever you light up a cigarette, because, you know, she likes the dirty vice, the cigarettes. When we go out, not during the standard course of the week here at home, but when we go out and have drinks, she likes to engage in some cigarettes. I said, make sure you blow as much of that smoke at Larson's face. Low key.
You know.
Just as much as you can.
It's on me. I could have just, like, stepped aside, knowing that I was sick, knowing it would bother me, but I didn't. I wanted to socialize rather than be a hermit.
Because I was like, you know, on Monday, he's going to show up, and there's nothing more I like than him being sick and complaining.
Grumpy.
I love all those things. So be sure to... I'm just joking. I didn't ask her to do that.
Oh, I know.
No. I don't like that she smokes, to be honest with you. Because, like, you know, I want to be one of those couples that... I don't know if you and your wife ever talked about this, but I want to be one of those couples who end up, like, in an old folks home. Like, a good one, not where they abuse you. Like, a good one, and then you end up dying, like, within hours apart while holding each other's hands.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I'll probably get hit by a car way before then, though. I just have an idea.
Lightning. You're going to get hit by lightning.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like I've already been hit by lightning, my friend, by working with you.
Oh.
Yeah. No, in a good way.
Lightning, oh, you mean it's rare that an occasion, like a relationship, business relationship like this happens. It's rarity.
You'll exactly. Find it often. Okay. Exactly. It's fortuitous.
All right. Anyway. I mean, I don't think a lot of people consider being struck by lightning as a fortuitous occasion.
Yeah, well, you know, Marty McFly did.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about wrestling.
Yeah, I suppose that's what we're here for.
Yeah. So anyways, let's get into our first story. We're going to talk about... We got a lot on the docket today. We're going to talk about King of Pro Wrestling, Japan show.
We finally got around to that a week late.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, man.
We're busy
lot,
people.
There's a lot of wrestling to watch.
Yeah.
And so we were able to, you know, watch it on our own time. I finally watched the main event this morning, Okada. I was actually ready last week to do it, except I just hadn't watched the main event yet. Took me a whole week to get around to it, but
yeah.
I watched. Okay, I heard that it wasn't that great of a match anyways. And it's funny because it's probably like better than most of the matches you'll see this year.
Well, Okada has set a really high bar this year.
It's because it's an Okada match.
Yeah.
So it's like he can put on like an amazing match and it's like, well, it's no Okada.
We'll get to that more when we actually talk about the show. But that was one of my things I noticed while watching this match granted, I don't watch every New Japan show, but I've seen a lot more this year than I ever did before.
Yeah.
And once you start to learn the wrestlers, their proclivities, what they do in the ring.
Yeah.
You start developing, you start seeing the pattern in their work.
Yeah.
And I think that's just kind of a natural result. As you know, Okada set an enormously high bar.
Yeah.
And so if he has anything less than like a 4 3/4 star match.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, eh, it was okay.
But here's the funny thing about it. I still found it very entertaining because, oh, not just because it was a good match, but because there were some things that I thought that were legitimately funny about it.
Yeah.
When you get like, you know, Evil, who's by, you know, he's a mid-card wrestler in New Japan, which is, you know, he's still phenomenal. He's still a really good wrestler.
Yeah.
But there were some things that I thought were funny about it. We'll get to that later in the show. But first, we're going to talk about some WWE. Let's talk about Brock Lesnar and what's going on with that Universal Championship.
You want to do this Triple H nutritionist story first?
It's up to you, buddy. You're running the show.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
All right, we can talk about Brock first, I guess.
What is today? The 16th? Where's the notes? Anyways, what's going on with Brock?
I'm having such a hard time finding the notes.
I know, it's a weird thing today. Look, oh, maybe I need to refresh.
Yeah, refresh. All right, I'll get started on this. So Wrestling Observer reported this past Friday the 13th.
I found the notes.
Good. That WWE is planning a massive, massive champion versus champion bout for the main event of Survivor Series.
Yeah.
It will be Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal. In a non-title match. No titles are on the line.
Can I point this out really quick?
What?
Oh, yeah. Somebody in chat here. Bill Montgomery says, I don't get why Steve reviews Impact Wrestling, but not Lucha Underground. It's a way better product. Yeah, but as of this week, it's going to be gone.
Well, that we know. It might come
be
back.
Nothing. It's not. There's going to be nothing left to review. Anyways, I review.
Well, there's three stellar seasons.
I review Impact because it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly on Impact Death Watch. Anyways, continue.
So, yes, we have, apparently, according to Wrestling Observer, to recap, the plan is Lesnar versus Mahal, main event Survivor Series, no titles on the line.
I love this. And I know a lot of people are poo-pooing it because they're like, man, they're totally going to bury SmackDown here. I love this. I think this is great. What are your thoughts? First, what are your thoughts about this?
I mean, I don't disagree with people saying that they're going to not bury the WWE title. They're just using the WWE champion as yet another person to put over Brock Lesnar as this unstoppable beast.
Mm-hmm.
My hope, though, is at least that Jinder will put up a competitive match.
They have a huge,
they would at least have to do that for the WWE champion.
They have a huge opportunity here to make, let's say, I don't know who's going to take that title off of Jinder Mahal. It's probably, I suspect it's going to be AJ Styles.
I would think so, but the next little story we got might throw some cold water on that idea.
Oh, really?
But anyways, let's continue our thoughts about Lesnar and Mahal here.
Whoever, if Mahal, they have such a great opportunity, and I don't know what they're going to do, which I love. Number one, anytime, this is, the joy of having the brand split is the ability to give some fan service with Survivor Series, bringing the two brands together and having champion versus champion
just
matches.
Just say a sort of competition in the ring between brands is fun.
No, it's fantastic because they have made it a special event when brand crossover does happen because it never happens.
It happens very rarely,
You get these shakeups or redrafts or whatever you want to call them. How many we've had? We had the draft, but then we had one. Have we only had one shakeup?
We had one major one, then a kind of slight reshuffling after
SummerSlam,
I think. Just a couple people.
And so we had, like Jason Jordan. So we've had some trades too. And so the idea of having a Universal Champion versus WWE Champion, I think is fantastic, regardless of who's champion. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, it is. And even if Jinder goes in the ring and is defeated in 5 minutes, he's still in the ring with Brock Lesnar. That's good for him.
They have an opportunity to have Jinder Mahal in there, and let's book him stronger than Braun. Let's book him stronger than Samoa Joe. But Brock can go over because he's Brock.
Oh, yeah. Brock is going over.
He's definitely going to go over.
He's definitely going to
Could you imagine if they throw Jinder in there and he actually holds his own to a degree against Brock or puts on like a Braun-type performance?
I know. That'd be pretty impressive.
That's what they need to do. I don't know if they're going to do this. They could absolutely make a complete joke out of Jinder Mahal. I don't think they're going to do that, though.
How about this? Let's do this. So for the first 8 minutes, decent back and forth. Mahal gets off the Coloss.
Yeah.
Without interference from the Singh brothers.
Yeah, right.
Very important
right.
that the Singh brothers don't get involved until later on the match.
What if, hey, hold on. Let me cut you off.
No.
Just real quick.
Let me finish my thought. I don't feel well. It's really quick, goddammit. Mahal hits Colossus, Brock kicks out. That's all I'm going to say. Just have some patience.
No, I was going to say, you remember how like Roman took care of the Miztourage before his match against Miz?
Yeah.
What if they have Brock literally eat a Singh brother?
Okay.
Like he starts biting into his arm. Man, you blew up at me just then. Man, Power Rank, the ways that Larson needs to chill out. We got to do some edibles here on the show.
Stop cutting me off, what you need to stop doing.
Number one, smoke some weed. You California liberal.
Yeah. But after that, have Jinder seem like he's on the precipice of victory.
Yeah.
Brock kicks out of the Colossus, then have the Singh brothers get involved.
Man, book the guy strong. You have an
That's
opportunity.
What I'm saying.
You have an opportunity to book the guy strong. You need to take it.
Yes.
And you could do wonders for you for everything. You could do wonders for a SmackDown. You could do wonders for the WWE title. You could do wonders for whoever's going to take that title off of Jinder Mahal, which is going to happen.
Yeah.
You have such an opportunity.
And also, especially in advance of the tour of India,
mm-hmm.
where they announced that Mahal is going to headline or main event the show, is taking on Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, that's right.
He needs, you know, ideally he would look strong going into those shows, have him put up a really good fight against Brock Lesnar.
We'll see.
It needs to happen.
We'll see how much WWE really wants to get a corner in that Indian market by how strong they're going to book Jinder Mahal. Because so far, I mean, the only wonky thing is going to be there's zero precedent for Jinder Mahal putting up a fight against Brock Lesnar because, like, they don't book him. They book the Colossus relatively strong.
Yeah.
They book it strong.
Well, I mean, Brock is going to kick out of a Colossus.
No, he will. Yeah. But in terms of, like, you know, all of his entire programs have been, his entire title run has been not impressive in terms of how strong they book the guy, you know? He always has the Singh brothers out there. He has freaking Great Khali come out during the Punjabi prison match. So, I don't know. That's going to be a little wonky. Like I said this before, they need to give him some like quality wins.
Yeah, they do.
Against some mid-carders at least for us to buy this.
A really good showing against the Universal Champion.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Are you kidding me?
It would go a long way. Jinder also, though, has his eyes set further down the road,
mm-hmm.
WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, over the weekend, on a Twitter Q&A with WWE India, he issued a challenge to one John Cena, saying, quote, "At WrestleMania 34, I would like to face John Cena for my WWE championship. It could happen because I fully intend being WWE champion come WrestleMania and even after WrestleMania. So John Cena, let's say this is an official challenge to you."
There you go. There's number 17 for John Cena at WrestleMania. You think that's going to happen? Let's stack the odds here. What are the odds that he's going to keep the title through?
I'd be very surprised.
At this point, I wouldn't. At this point, I totally wouldn't. Last week, I was like, look, everybody, relax. Shinsuke's going to get that title.
I mean,
that's not going to happen.
Right now, I'd say it's about a 30% possibility he keeps the title to
Mania.
But depending on his performance at Survivor Series, that could change.
Yeah, it's already at 50%.
Yeah, it might be.
If he puts in a good performance in Survivor Series, that thing is going to shoot up to 80%. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. He's going to have like one of the longest title reigns in the era.
Another interview, or maybe the same interview, he said that he can fully see himself passing CM Punk's reign of 434 or whatever it was days.
Let's not get crazy here. I really wish they'd go through a period where Jinder is booked strong, though. Like, get some quality wins against some people.
He also talked about wanting to turn babyface.
Really?
Yeah.
So this interview was not...
Well, I mean, he did a lot of press over this past weekend in India in advance of the tour.
So that's rad.
He did a lot of talking about who he'd like to face and then doing a, you know, having a babyface run.
You know, this is one thing that you can say about Jinder, though, is that... So I sort of espouse the virtues of what they're doing both with Brock Lesnar. You understand the path that Lesnar and Roman Reigns are on, but you kind of also understand that at least it's a long-term plan.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, just we're going to talk about King of Pro Wrestling in a bit. Did you have any thought in your head that Evil's going to win that?
No.
Fight? No, of course not. Some things are just, it's like, you know, we know we're going to get Okada versus Naito at King of Pro Wrestling. In the same respect, we know we're going to get Brock versus Roman at WrestleMania. There's something to be said for long-term planning.
Yes.
I really wanted to see some more twists and turns in the road, but it looks like they have a solid plan going forward, and that's fine.
The twist is the Shield reuniting.
Yeah, that's a pretty big twist. The thing about Jinder, though, is that I thought for sure that Wait, who did he feud with before Shinsuke? It was Randy, then it was...
It was Randy.
Well, there wasn't... Oh, there was nothing in between. Okay.
No.
I never really thought Randy was going to get it back, but I thought for sure that Shinsuke was going to get
it. Me too.
And then he didn't. And now I'm like, well, shit, I don't know who he's going to be... Who's going to be feuding with... Who's he feuding with now?
They haven't really moved on to the next feud.
He wasn't on SmackDown.
No, he wasn't.
That's
on
right.
SmackDown.
Okay.
Last week, I think.
But AJ got laid out by Baron Corbin. There's a good chance it's going to be AJ next.
I'm sure Mahal was either in India or on his way to India during SmackDown next week. So I think he was there all last week.
Okay.
Or a good portion of it.
All right.
You know, doing press in advance of the India tour.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, I like the idea that with Jinder, we really don't know what like their long term plan or goals are with him as champion. And I kind of like, I mean, you know, their business goals obviously are, you know, try to get this Indian,
from a creative standpoint.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on. And I like that because you have two top titles and they're definitely on different paths. One, we don't really know what's going on. The other, we know what's going on. So we have, you know, the best of both.
Some intrigue potentially. Mm-hmm. Regarding Lesnar and what may be next for him after Survivor Series, Cage Side Seats is reporting that Finn Balor may be next in line for Brock. I guess that has to be at the Rumble.
After he beats Sister Abigail.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Finn Balor versus Lesnar at the Rumble? I mean, I know you don't like them feeding Finn Balor to Brock
Lesnar.
Well,
I mean, I understand why they're feeding pretty much all the top stars on Raw to Lesnar. I understand. It doesn't mean I have to necessarily like it.
Yeah. Let me ask something. Why do you think... because I give a pass to Braun Strowman beating both Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in singles competition. I give a pass to that.
Yeah.
With Finn Balor, it's because he never had his full Universal title run, right?
Yeah,
that's why we give it a pass.
Oh, no, he's been waiting... Oh, when you come back, Raw after Mania, so 6 months for his rematch, and he finally gets it.
Yeah, and I feel like
Brock.
Five out of those six months have been against
pretty much
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
you know, but I don't know. I'm kind of okay with it because here's the thing: like one way or another, at WrestleMania, the experiment's done with. You know, it's like either or Roman's gonna have like a 2-year run with it, but I tend to doubt that's gonna be the case. I think once they're done getting that title onto Roman, then all bets are off. You know, I don't know. There are ways to get the title off him without making him look bad.
I know. If they start using the belt to enhance storylines.
And on top of that, he's never going to be Cena. Like, I don't know what it's going to take for them to realize. Like, he can have the title for 3 years straight. He's not going to be Cena.
No.
So, I don't know. And if nothing else, he can go over to SmackDown and get the WWE title.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this weird... Triple H nutritionist guy.
Yeah.
Thing.
So, yeah, Triple H's nutritionist, Dave Palumbo... was
That's a great name.
On the Matt Riviera show today and dropped some
bombshells, man.
Potentially about performance-enhancing drug use in the WWE. So Riviera was asking Palumbo about Triple H's like nutritional routine leading up to his matches the last few WrestleManias.
Right.
And Palumbo, while answering, kind of tangentially started talking about drug use, period.
Yeah, I'll do the quote here. He says, first of all, wrestlers can't take drugs beyond hormone replacements. They get drug tested. It's a very, very strict drug testing policy there. The good thing about wrestling is that it's not a professional sport per se. It's more entertainment. They're allowed to take hormone replacement. They can go to an HRT, which is a hormone replacement therapy place, and get, you know, testosterone replacement, you know, 100 milligrams a week, whatever they prescribe nowadays. They can get HCG, which is human chorionic gonadotropin, HGH if they want. Those are acceptable. A lot of the wrestlers do it. And it's not for me to say who's using what, but they're very minimal doses.
And we should say transcripts for all this stuff, courtesy of ProWrestling.com and Fightful.
Yeah, but it's the story, like, is everywhere now, right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, Riviera followed up trying to confirm with Palumbo. He's talking about Triple H specifically. He's saying, so you're saying that he hasn't taken he didn't take anabolic steroids before Mania. He's essentially saying, you know, he looks so good. You know, what did he use?
Yeah, yeah.
And Palumbo replied, quote, no, they can't do it. Believe me, I'm sure he would love to do it, but, you know, they can't do it. So that's why diet and supplementation become so important in how you train. So this opened up like a pretty big
can of worms here. It's unclear whether Colombo was referring strictly to part-timers, because at one point Riviera tried to interject and gain some measure of clarity about that, talking about saying Triple H specifically, you know, he's an office guy now. He's not a full-time wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it was kind of unclear whether he's referring to Colombo, that is, part-timers or full-time wrestlers, because, you know, when Brock got suspended by the USADA for failing that drug test for his last UFC fight, WWE didn't do anything, because I guess the wellness policy only applies to full-time performers.
Okay, and that's the clarification we got, because I think Vince mentioned this also in 2007, that the full-timers, number one, the wellness policy is more designed to minimize long-term damage as opposed to, you know, short-term stuff. But so the full-timers, but this guy is making it sound like, well, they can't, they test blah, 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 which means I'm thinking this sounds like the regular roster.
Yeah.
Because when he says they test for stuff, I don't think that if they're not covered by the wellness policy, like, for example, Brock Lesnar, does he get tested for anything at any time by the WWE?
Doesn't seem like it.
I was under the impression the answer is no.
Yeah.
Like, if he's off doing, and I'm not suggesting for a second he is, but recreational drugs like cocaine, stuff like that, I don't think he gets, like, I have not heard that the part-timers get tested for anything.
Yeah.
So that would lead me to believe that the only people who do get tested are the regular full-timers.
Who are on the road year-round,
Who are under the wellness policy.
Yeah.
And so there's like a discrepancy. Because everybody looks at gender, and there's all sorts of different people saying different things about, like, you know, there are some bodybuilders out there who have been on, you know, who go on these shows and say, well, yeah, you know, if you look at this and this and this, it's clear that he does. And then those are refuted by other people. And so there's a lack of clarity in terms of, like, gender specifically, how he looks so jacked. I mean, some people just think it's like, yeah, dude, like, look at him. It's obvious. And I don't know, because I'm not a bodybuilder.
Yeah, no,
and, you know, neither are you. So I, you know, my thing is, well, once if he's tested and he gets caught, then go ahead. But evidently, like, there are certain things you can do.
Well, that was kind of the thing. Is this, if he's not referring to part-timers and he's referring to people on the main full-time roster, then there seems to be maybe a loophole in the wellness policy where the wellness policy prohibits all the things that Palumbo mentions here. Mm-hmm. But it seems like, according to Palumbo, you know, if we're going to take him at his word, that if you get a doctor's note, essentially, that says, okay, your testosterone levels are low, you need testosterone replacement therapy, there you go.
Yeah.
Then you could do that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, the way the story is kind of making the rounds right now, and this, like, literally just happened this morning, right? Like, this is going to... I suspect that over the next couple days, people are going to be talking about this and saying, hold on a second. Can we get some clarification from the WWE in terms of what is allowed and what isn't?
Yes.
Makes you wonder, Mr. Palumbo here is going to be working with the game very much longer.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know. I have no idea. So, I find it funny that you're going on radio and talking. And when I say that, I mean I don't find it funny at all. Pedigree. 1, 2, 3, and then he's out of the company. So, yeah, I don't know. Kind of interesting. And then we doing a little bit of research on this morning, like, we came across all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, the HGH gut I was telling you about?
Yeah.
That's actually, I think they call it something like the Palumbo.
Yeah, that's what Fightful said, yeah.
It's named after him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so gross. Bodybuilding is so gross. Like, they look so weird.
I know.
They're like bronze people. It's so weird.
And they put so much oil on themselves to highlight
every
little bit of definition.
They put their oil all the way up. I made myself on the Xbox version.
Yeah.
We're going to make our announcements this week for all that stuff, right?
Yes.
We're going to do an episode of our new federation in 2K18 on Thursday. Is that right?
We'll stream that on Thursday.
We'll stream that on Thursday.
It'll go up on YouTube the following Monday. Okay. I have some ideas. We're going to discuss all this this week and make the full-on announcement on Thursday.
Yeah. All right. I like discussing it just in front of her. Are you about to throw up?
No.
Blah!
Well, I think I found a way for us to start a new promotion but still keep Fun Wrestling and W Steve W alive.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, if you think about 5-10 seconds, you can figure it out. Especially with some of the plumb. Well, we'll talk about it later.
Especially with some of the what?
Well, some of the other things we've talked about.
I'm intrigued right now.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening.
All right. Why is your face just hanging out right there?
I was scanning my face in.
Yeah.
Man, I could not get it to work.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't. Like, my guy is so ugly.
Well, I saw that.
Like, it doesn't. Wait, you saw what? No. Not on a different. Like, I made. I tried to make myself best I could.
Are you talking about Steve Huro?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
So
okay.
I made him for my career.
Gotcha.
But then
that's
I've got,
what I thought you were referring
I'm,
to.
No, I'm literally just trying to make myself. I'm trying to do it properly.
Okay.
Not jokingly.
Anyways. All right. Anyways, let's talk about King of Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
Our review that is 8 days in the making.
Yes.
So overall, it was a fun show. Like I said earlier, I think now that we're getting a lot more familiar with New Japan's product,
mm-hmm.
Then we start learning how wrestlers wrestle, how they book things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's gonna be harder for us to really be wowed. That said, the junior heavyweight title match was spectacular.
Yeah, I don't.
Let me say this. I think it's be harder for us to be wowed on a more consistent basis.
Okay.
Because like the first half of this year we were watching, like half the match we just say, oh my gosh, that's phenomenal.
It's sad you mention that because you're right. This year's Wrestle Kingdom, or I'm sorry, early next year's Wrestle Kingdom isn't going to be the eye-opening, you know, the Virgin-esque experience I had this bet when I was like...
And I think that all kind of culminated when we went to G1 Special in USA. We saw so many great matches.
Yeah.
And the kind of everything else that New Japan has aired since just hasn't hit me the same way.
Yeah.
That I could think of. There might be exceptions, but... No, sorry. There's a lot of G1 matches that are really good. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, the G1 was great, and then all the subsequent Okada Omega matches. Wait, did they have... They fought in the G1.
But then, like, the Omega Naito finals for the G1, which was good, but that was one of those times where I was watching, like, it was hard to watch because the match was literally, we're going to drop each other on our heads and neck until one of us just can't get up
anymore. It's just different now. Now it's like, okay, we know who they are. Now we can get really, really hyped for, especially because we're still like 4 months away from
Wrestle Kingdom,
Okada Naito, which is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just two different experiences. It's like one thing, it's like eye opening and like, ooh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And now it's like, okay, I know who this guy is. So now I can expect something really cool.
Yeah. Also, I think post Shibata, we're probably a bit more conscientious.
Oh, yeah.
About injuries.
Because the funny thing is like, when you watch it and you see these guys doing this stuff, you think to yourself, well, they're just, I guess, built different so they can take moves easier. Like, I don't know, you know, their schedules are different because like they take all these crazy moves
that
WWE
noticed?
Never let
you
them do.
You know what I noticed? It could be a small thing. Pretty much every wrestler in New Japan have really well-developed trapezius and neck muscles.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they just know, okay, we're going to be doing a lot of head and neck spots, so let's really strengthen up that part of our body.
Man, it hurts sometimes watching that stuff. But anyways, it kicked off with
Bullet Club versus LIJ
with a tall drink of water named Leo Tonga. Hey, Uncle Leo! Welcome to Bullet Club, Uncle Leo! He replaced No, Kenny's back.
He replaced Kenny in one match, but Kenny is back.
Once you're in for
life.
They're
not going to make him a young lion again.
No.
He's in Bullet Club now.
Did he come straight from being a young lion into Bullet
Club? Well, during
Club?
This match, they said that, pretty much.
That's a big promotion.
He was basically a young lion until he got brought up.
He's a tall dude. He looks so lost.
I think he said he was 6'8".
Match. His first match, he was like, what the hell do I even do? Yeah, he's a tall dude, though. Anyways, it was him. It was the Tokyo Pimp, Takahashi, and Bad Luck Fale versus Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Hiromu Takahashi.
The other Takahashi.
Sanada and Bushi.
Yeah.
It was a fun match.
Yeah, it was fun.
The finish was especially fun because Fale has Bushi up for the Bad Luck Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Takahashi comes in with Daryl, his cat.
Yeah.
Distracts Fale. Allows Bushi to hit Fale with the mist and gets the pin.
Yeah. The club did not win. Los Ingobernables de Japón. Next up, we had a comedy match. This cracked me up. It was Goto and Yano, Chaos, versus Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. Made me laugh because Suzuki was, I don't know, maybe he's like friends with Yano or he just appreciates Yano or I don't know what it was. But unlike previous matches we've seen with Suzuki where he seems to lay into these young dudes like, You know, and you know, relative to him, everybody's young.
Yeah.
He seems to lay into everybody pretty stiff.
Oh yes.
Yano, he was barely touching him.
I know. Well, so, he was saving all that for after the match when he was laying into the young lions with the chair.
That's right, dude. Everybody was getting in licks on the young lions, man.
Yeah, I know.
I think they're just told to go out there and, like, you know, they're gonna bump for you.
But yeah, there was a couple spots where wasn't Suzuki try to tie Yano up to the guardrail?
Yeah, in the most awkward way possible. He was not thinking that through because he was like, he was tying up Yano, but then he was also trying to, like, tie up
the rope was tangled too.
Yeah.
So
it was just kind of, it was, the whole thing was just a comedy of errors.
Yeah, there's a lot to contend with. Meanwhile, Goto and Sabre seemed to be completely unaware that this was a comedy match because they were just wrestling normal styles. Which only enhanced the comedy of Yano.
I know, exactly. It's like, you know, the juxtaposition there.
But Yano is on the outside. Well, Suzuki, I think, was trying to tie him up. Low blows him.
Yeah.
Rolls back in the ring like an 18.
Yeah, it backfired on Suzuki because he was trying to get a count-out victory.
And didn't Yano beat Suzuki by count-out during the G1?
Oh, that sounds right. That was his gimmick during the G1. He was just trying to beat everybody by
count-out, yeah. A solid strategy, man. So Yano and Goto win the match. After the match, Yano takes the open weight title,
steals it, and runs away with it. He's done that before.
Yeah.
Which upsets Suzuki. Titles.
So he takes a chair and starts beating up the young lions.
Yeah, it was great.
And then awesome. Zack Sabre goes and chokes out the ref.
Yeah, that was rad. He chokes him out and he just chucks him. And then he's ushered back to the back by who's the masked? Is it Desperado?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
El Desperado.
Anyways, next up we had Ricochet's swan song.
Yeah,
last match in New Japan
for the junior heavyweight tag team titles. Funky Future.
I have Taguchi Japan's.
Yeah, Taguchi and Ricochet taking on the debuting Roppongi 3K.
So yeah, we didn't. The big questions about who Rocky Romero was gonna move on with from. Roppongi Vice, of course, Trent Beretta moving up to be a singles heavyweight.
We didn't really talk about this, but I kind of feel like Trent is going in Raw Wrestler of the Year. Don't you think?
There's a lot.
I mean,
he should have
earned that title from that spot at Wrestle Kingdom this year, where he just did the planche on the nothing.
Planche to nothing,
and then seeing him the following month at PWG and being endlessly entertained by him.
Yeah, that was huge. And then when I took
a picture of him at the G1 special in USA,
took a selfie with him while he was writhing in pain, and I was smiling. And then he got on our Instagram, stole that from us, and
saying he was going to do that.
In the comments, said, "I'm going to steal this from you and not credit you."
Trent has to be going in Raw Wrestler of the Year.
Trent is, yeah, definitely. I don't care if they don't have it in soft. I'm going to get one of those hard on egg shirts.
Yeah, one of those two. It's the best shirt in all of wrestling.
It really is. Oh, man. So, yeah, but what do you think about Trent's prospects in the heavyweight division? My favorite Trent moment, and it's still the stupidest, smallest thing, is after Okada beat Omega. Was that at Wrestle King? No,
it was the second one.
It was two. Yeah, yeah, it was after the draw. The draw, and they're at the press conference afterwards, and Okada's about to sit down, and all of Chaos are congratulating him, and everybody's doing very, very, very respectful. You know, they're either doing the bow thing or they're shaking his hand. Well, Trent is there in his surfer outfit, like he's got like just his tank top and like some board shorts on and his backwards hat, and he says, "Yeah, good shit, man." God damn it, I love Trent.
Trent's great.
He's the best.
He is pretty darn
good. So we'll
see.
I hope he succeeds wildly.
Oh, I really want him to
I really do.
I just think it might be a couple years before he gets like a solid opportunity at, say, the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I know.
Or the U.S. title or something, you know?
I know. Because the problem is, like...
What I'm trying to say is he has a lot of six-man tag matches in his future.
Yeah, I think he does, too. I mean, he might start off with the... I could see a year from now maybe he'll get a shot at the open title, you know? Mm-hmm. The open overweight title. But I don't know. Like, I just feel... Okay, so remember that there was that little promo video at like one of the last pay-per-views where it was like the Switchblade thing?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying it's Sami Callihan.
Yeah.
It could be him coming in. Well, that's a very intense thing. Like, it's very... All the singles guys, they all have to be very intense, you know? And Trent, I don't know if he can do intense at all.
Yeah,
I don't think it's in his DNA.
I know.
You know? Which is one reason why we love him, because he's just... I mean, him and Chuck Taylor over there, doing the best friends thing. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could see him, you know, with the, maybe he can pull off the open weight, you know,
yeah.
the open never weight
yeah.
title.
Never open weight.
Never open weight. Is that what it is?
I think he said open never weight.
Open never weight.
It's never open weight.
The never overweight.
Let's get back to this tag match, though. As soon as...
Oh, yeah, it ended up being Tempura Boys, like
yeah.
I said.
Yeah. As soon as Rocky brought out Yo and Sho.
They have like a music video. It's like a five-minute
yeah.
music video.
Limos.
Yeah. Because Rocky Romero, he raps and he produces.
Yeah.
I like that they refer to that. Kevin Kelly kept referring to him as the director of Roppongi 3K.
Oh, the CEO.
He's the... Well, he also called him the director.
Yeah.
But he has a variety of roles yeah. there with the Roppongi franchise.
Yeah. But the crowd was super into the debuting...
They were rad, too!
Roppongi 3K.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. They yeah. just got back from excursion
yeah.
in Mexico and I think the States.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh, yeah. They were in. They had some time in Ring of Honor, I think.
I think so, yeah.
I think it was Ring of Honor.
And they had at least one match during the G1 special in USA.
Mm, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and their ring gear looks great.
Yeah, it looks good.
One of the guys was in. I think it was Sho was in gold.
Yeah, I forget.
And Yo was in silver.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
So the crowd was super into him. Match starts. Funky Future kind of gets out to a quick advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But then Roppongi 3K they isolate Taguchi.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just taking a beating for a good long time.
Yeah,
he would mount a little bit of offense, but eventually just get beat again.
Yeah.
Hot tag to Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
He did all sorts of awesome Ricochet stuff.
Ricochet's the man, dude.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Once he tags Taguchi back in, Roppongi 3K takes the advantage yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet eventually hits Yo with a Benadryler.
Mm-hmm.
Yo kicks out, and they're making a huge deal. Commentary was about someone kicking out of the Benadryler.
Yeah, Ricochet was basically putting these guys over huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At one point, he hit his Shooting Star Press. Sho broke up the pinfall with rolling German suplexes. And then Roppongi 3K hit their finisher on Ricochet and are the new junior tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that great shot of Ricochet taking off his wrist tape. And I would even be surprised if he knew that the camera was really on him.
Because
He looked like he was just completely in his own world. Like, just he was looking around and he just, dude, you can't fake that look. He was soaking it all in for the last time. That's my opinion.
I read that he gave an interview afterwards, too,
mm-hmm.
where he said, you know, he took responsibility for the loss.
No, I want... There's a video,
yeah.
like a press conference video thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all super awkward and stuff. And you know what? You're absolutely right. When he's being natural, I was like, okay, cool. I can totally... Like, he's at least at the Balor level in terms of, like, comfortability talking. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's when he tries to be intense.
Yeah.
Maybe he has to just keep it.
I think it's when he tries to raise the volume of his voice.
That could be, because it goes super high.
Yeah.
But
when he just talks, he's fine.
Yeah, he sounded normal. He just sounded extra dorky at the G1 thing. It was one of those awkward things where he's like, yeah, you know, it was all my fault. It's my bad coach. And I'm sure Taguchi knows English or can understand it, but it didn't look like he could, because he was like... Okay. I think he said that like once. He was like, that's okay. it was just a little bit of awkwardness right there. There wasn't like any like Taguchi saying, you know, oh, you're the best, you know, you're great, you know, any sort of warm goodbye. It was just Taguchi, I think, wanted to hit the showers.
Yeah.
like he probably didn't even know that Ricochet was leaving. Next up, we had the tag match.
Yeah, elimination match for the heavyweight tag team championships.
Mm-hmm. War Machine versus Guerrillas of Destiny, of course, from Bullet Club, and Killer Elite Squad, which are like, oh my God. They seem like they're Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. They seem like two dudes who, like, they think it's real.
A little bit.
I think it's kind of real, maybe. For them.
At least that's their gimmick.
Yeah, right. No, they come off as kind of legit. Like, there's kind of sometimes.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Sometimes there's
kind of. Especially Lance Archer.
I know. Sometimes there's, like, scary legit. Like, Scott Steiner is kind of scary legit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look at Scott Steiner and you think, does he think this is real? Like, does he think this is all a real thing?
Part of it is that, and then you look at him and you're like, oh, man, I don't want to for real fight this guy.
Oh, Lance Archer is terrifying.
Yeah, he's huge, and then Davey Boy ripped, and his choke slam is very violent.
Yeah, and then Davey Boy, like, he looks exactly like his dad,
but taller.
Yeah,
and wider.
Yeah, and less cheesy.
He is
huge.
Yeah. I think he's like 6'6".
A massive human being.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. If we're at, you were mentioning this off camera. You said, "Hey, Steve, only $2,500 gets us to Tokyo Dome January 4th.
Yeah.
And let's say we get like great seats. We're there on the aisle. Lance Archer comes down and he starts, you see him back there spitting all over
merch
everybody.
Table. I'm going to the merch table.
Because these guys come out. Lance Archer starts, he starts swilling water. And he just starts spitting at everybody. This is a culture that wears like, hey, right now, if we were in the Japanese culture, the level of sick you are right now, which really isn't that sick, you'd be wearing a mask. Like, they value, you know, not getting bacteria on other people. And Lance Archer is sitting there going, just acting like a freaking front yard sprinkler.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But it kind of adds to the, these guys are scary. Somebody
oh,
who
yeah,
do
yeah.
that.
I understand from a character standpoint why it does it.
Oh,
I
it's great. It's
I just
fantastic.
Don't want to be within range of his sprinkler.
And especially a couple of guys like we look, we probably have huge targets on our faces because we're like these tall, goofy white dudes out there. You know, we look like a couple of jerks. He's gonna look for us, man. I'm telling you. Anyways, this is a fun match.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was, you know, it was
no DQ, so there was weapons involved. There's elimination. The match started with everybody brawling on the outside. Killer Elite Squad come down the ramp.
Yeah,
and Gorillas of Destiny came out first, and they must have like went around the entire arena because Killer Elite Squad comes out. They're met before they hit the ring by War Machine, and then Gorillas of Destiny attack them from behind.
That was so goofy.
I know.
They're like, oh my god, they're behind them now, and I'm like, that's like you got a 2 second advantage. You got, you know, know it's I like know. You got okay. So you got the first hit off. That was
but,
kind of
but the
cheesy.
Upside is that the match started with a brawl and there everybody's brawling.
Yeah, I know. No, it was fine. It was a bunch of bastards. I love Tama Tonga. He's like my favorite.
Oh yeah, he's great. So War Machine gets Davey Boy Smith back in the ring. Isolate him for a while. Just a lot of large dudes beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, there was a lot of, yeah, was. I know, exactly. We don't have to go through beat by beat.
There's a lot of killer bombs, which is the Killer Elite Squad's finisher. Ray Rowe, 8-1, kicked out. There's this one thing that's happened a lot in this match. Everybody's kicking out of finishers.
Yeah.
Because Ray Rowe kicked out of a killer bomb, Lance Archer kicked out of Guerrilla Warfare, and Tonga Loa kicked out of Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's finisher wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But eventually, Tonga Loa ate a killer bomb, and then Gorillas of Destiny first team eliminated.
Mm-hmm, yeah, which left War Machine versus Killer Elite Squad.
Yeah. Killer Bomb on Ray Rowe. And then Hansen breaks it up with a top rope splash.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was cool.
That was cool.
Anytime Hansen goes up for a top rope splash, I'm happy.
Yeah, and then Killer Elite Squad wins and retains the titles after a killer bomb on Hansen through a table.
Mm-hmm.
And then Killer Elite Squad, for really no reason, to start beating up the Young Lions. Lance Archer chokeslammed one of them literally through the ring.
They were laying them out. It was horrific. It was fantastic.
And seemingly for no reason, just because they wanted to.
Well, I think they just had license to do it. They said, hey, the Young Lions are out there. They need to take bumps. Go hurt them. And Lance Archer said, I'll do all that. I'm happy doing that. He's like, can I still spray water on people? And they're like, yeah, of course. That's your thing. Who thinks of that? Who says, I'm going to go out there and just spray a bunch of water. I'm going to spit at everybody as much as I can.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm telling you, I get the feeling, I don't know. I get the feeling that you and Lance Archer are headed for a confrontation.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I think at some point.
It's in the stars, huh?
Either they're going to come back here, we're going to go over there, you're going to get spat on by Lance Archer. I'll take one for you, though. I'll take one. You know why? Because you know my belief.
This is what I'm going to do. If that's the case, like, say, Killer Elite Squad has a match here at SPW or something. I'm going to prepare.
SP. You know what they had last night? Bring your own weapons.
And it was the Halloween Battle Royal.
Yeah.
I'm going to prepare as if I was going to a Gallagher show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring a tarp with me.
There you go. Yeah.
That's
a good
I'll
idea.
Do.
I like that. That's a good idea. Yeah, you know. Oh, you know what we'll do? How about this? Instead of a tarp, when we go there, we'll buy a giant, because we notice in the crowd they've got giant Okada dollar towels.
Yeah, but then I have to carry around that towel that's got Lance Archer's saliva all
Look,
over.
Man, it's gonna be my towel. I'm gonna buy the towel.
Maybe I want a towel of my own.
Get one after the show. I'll get one before.
No, the line will be too long.
I'm trying to freaking help you.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna buy the towel during Killer Elite Squad's entrance.
No, you're gonna be out there. You have to be out there.
Why?
You're
not
notes.
The boss of me. I'm the boss of me.
Well, that's we don't really have a boss.
But I'm the boss of me. You're the boss of you. You don't tell me what to do.
I'm going to tell you.
I know a statement, Steve.
I'm going to trick you. I'm not going to do it because you don't look good. All right. Anyways, moving on. Yours
next.
Sitting here doing
Boogie Nights references. I know. Jokes. Next, we have Chaos versus Bullet Club.
See, immediately this is bad for Beretta because he's teaming with Yoshihashi and Jado, who I don't even know what Jado looks like now. Which one's Jado?
He's got no hair.
Jado. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I think he co-books.
Oh, does he co-book with Gato?
Yeah,
because I know Gato largely because he books.
Yeah,
and I know that. All right, that's cool.
So yeah, they took on the team of Cody, Kenny Omega, and Marty Scurll. Star-studded Bullet Club team.
Stars of being the elite.
Yes, and pretty instantly,
they're co-head bookers.
You can tell that Bullet Club wasn't doing the too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It was now well at. This show, it looked like it was more just this, just the single finger up. But at Ring of Honor, I guess they were doing this.
Yeah, it's the one sweet now. They should just not sweet at all.
Yeah, I agree.
If you can't do too sweet, I get what they're trying to do here. Don't try to make this your thing.
At least come up with a better name.
I mean, I know. I think it's purposefully bad.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not cool. No. And Bullet Club's supposed to be cool.
Yeah.
When you go from like literally pointing a gun at somebody's head and doing that to one sweeting because you get a cease and desist letter that you don't want to fight, then it's just time to do.
It seems like
a fist bump.
One
man.
Minor misstep amongst all of the things they're doing to counteract WWE legal action.
Yeah.
By and large, it's pretty interesting this battle they're waging with WWE and arguably winning.
Mm-hmm.
Not even arguably, they're winning. Between Cody Rhodes calling himself the biggest draw in pro wrestling. And then Roman Reigns responding, and Cody responding with something about his failed drug test.
Yeah.
It's like there's all this back and forth.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
When was that? This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was all like last night after Global Wars.
Yeah.
So there's all this back and forth happening.
Yeah.
And it's all going to help Bullet Club. It's all going to help the Young Bucks.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. I don't know why. Oh, did you watch the latest Being the Elite? When Kenny... He comes in acting like drunk Kenny to like the locker room area, and it's one of the things.
Is that when he was standing on the table and saying,
Saw the gif of it, right? Yeah, yeah, and he was making fun of Roman stuff. He's like, "We got to be original."
Yeah,
it was just I don't know. Kenny's such a great comedic actor.
Yeah,
because like he was trying to get up on the table, like it's Kenny Omega. He could easily leapfrog. He can do whatever. So he's known for these amazing athletic moves. And he's like, "Get me up this table," and they're like helping him get up. Drunk Kenny's the best.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, it's freaking hilarious. You should check it out. So anyways, Chaos, like the lower end of Chaos, took on Bullet Club.
Arguably the upper echelon of Bullet Club.
Yeah, this is.
Bullet Club isolates Beretta pretty quickly. Like Yoshihashi was the standout of Team Chaos in this match.
Which is not a good
thing. They did that because he had a match against Kenny at Global Wars for the U.S. title last night. Which I'm assuming Kenny won handily.
I'd imagine he did, too.
Hot tag eventually to Yoshihashi. He puts Marty Scurll in a crossface, but Marty reverses it to a chicken wing. Oh, sorry, no. Jado puts Marty in a crossface or attempts to. Marty reverses that to a chicken wing.
Crap.
Jado taps out.
Yeah.
Bullet Club wins.
Next up, we had Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi. So we got a little bit of clarification. Apparently Kushida is part of...
Taguchi Japan, yeah.
Taguchi Japan.
I thought both Juice and Tanahashi were members of Taguchi Japan.
They are, yeah, which was made it weird, yeah.
Yeah, while they were opponents.
Yeah, I know. That is weird. Who's Makabe with?
I don't know if he's with anybody.
You don't think he's with anybody?
Not that I'm aware of.
Kota Ibushi isn't with anybody.
No, I know Kota and Tanahashi have a match for the Intercontinental title coming up.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I'm guessing that's probably a power struggle. I think that's the next show, which will be great. So I understand why they were on opposite teams, but I don't get why two members of the Taguchi Japan were on opposite teams.
Yeah, no, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Anyways, I mean, this is fun and everything. Kota Ibushi is always fun.
Oh, yeah.
But Juice Robinson got the pin. They're still sort of giving him a mini, little bit of a push there.
Solid mid-card push. Maybe his storyline, you know, say he receives this kind of push for another couple years, and his storyline is he gets to that point, but he ever can't take it to the next level. He can't ever win the U.S. title.
He's just Ty Dillinger, man.
Or the Intercontinental.
You're just talking about Ty Dillinger right now.
Oh, that's a good point.
You just want that to happen.
There's two stories I want. That, crisis of confidence.
Yeah.
Don't see it often enough.
No, you don't. Oh, man. So is this finisher called Pulp Friction or Pump Friction? Because I swear Kevin Kelly kept calling it
Pulp Friction.
Pump Friction.
Pulp Friction.
I swear he called it Pump Friction.
Well, maybe he just misspoke. It's Pulp Friction.
It could be Pump Friction.
Pump Friction. You might want to add what does that like mean? New Japan or something on there. You know what you're going to find if you just search that.
Well, there was some sort of, let's see here, Pulp Friction?
Yeah, it's Pulp Friction, man.
Pulp Friction? Everybody's calling it Pulp Friction. I swear to God he was calling it. I was like, did we get this wrong this whole time?
No. He might have just said it incorrectly.
Is Makabe in Taguchi Japan too?
I don't think so.
Maybe. According to Kenny Omega's official jinx. So I don't know.
Well, here.
Look, man, it's great. We're still learning.
I know.
You think we know everything? We don't know everything.
No, we don't know everything. We still like New Japan. We're still learning.
I did that. You know, Michael Elgin's part of Taguchi Japan too. I didn't know that either. One of our friendos hit me up on Twitter and was like, hey, you know, Michael Elgin's there too. I was like, really?
Current members. Well, not according to Wikipedia.
No, but he was. And it's not like Taguchi Japan is ever kicking anybody out. Look at former members.
Well, I mean, it's like an 8-month-old.
No, I agree. I know, man. But he's been.
There's nothing on the list here of former members.
Yeah, there is. Go up.
Right there. No, it just says members. Several one-off members.
Look. Several one. See, look.
Yeah, Elgin, yeah.
Michael Elgin taking part. Elgin, there you go.
Part of Taguchi Japan.
Well, that's a one-off
Japan.
Member. That's not a full-time member. That's my point.
Well, once a member, always a member. When you're Taguchi Japan.
I mean, not according
Japan,
to Wikipedia, and as we know.
It's the paragon of truth.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, let's get to what we want to talk about. Will Ospreay versus Kushida.
For the junior heavyweight title.
So going into this, Ospreay had lost three times. Four times to Kushida.
Twice this year, once in the finals of Best of Super Juniors and in the finals of WCPW's Wrestling World Cup.
Ospreay was dressed up like Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, this match was freaking rad, dude. Yeah, this was so much flipping fun. This is the kind of stuff you'd only see in New Japan, dude.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I said earlier that there's...
Or Ring of Honor.
We've said it so much. That we've seen...
Or Progress.
You know, for us, a lot of New Japan. So... We got to know the wrestlers and how they mm-hmm. wrestle, so it's at times a bit harder to be overwhelmed by performance.
This time I was.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
It was totally
And incredible. This is one of those where it's like you go into it and you're like, oh man, we're gonna get Kushida versus Ospreay. That's gonna be cool. As opposed to who are these guys? Which I know there's an appeal to, but it was pretty cool. They lived up to every expectation. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it started out quick, a bunch of Will Ospreay is doing trying to do a bunch of high flying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kushida took the advantage, and then he sent Ospreay into the crowd,
mm-hmm.
set up the chair to do the drop kick off like he did at a Dominion, I think mm-hmm. it was, when he won the title back. And Ospreay did a springboard elbow off the guardrail to reverse it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was rad. That was so cool.
That was incredible.
I know.
And then just shortly after that, Ospreay does like a plancha out of the ring. Kushida's on the outside. Kushida grabs him in midair and puts him in a cross arm breaker.
Yeah.
And Ospreay literally just landed flat in his back on the mat.
I know.
It was insane. And so there's this middle stretch of the match where Kushida was just working over Ospreay's knee. Just mm-hmm. working the knee. As commentary was saying, you know, if you want to ground a high flyer, you got to work the legs.
Mm-hmm.
So it made all the sense in the world. And he was also working over his arm, softening him up for the hoverboard lock.
Yeah.
Ospreay hit a Spanish fly. And then later on, he did like this weird Spanish fly DDT type thing. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah. This is the very definition of... action too fast to call. I'm really glad you have extensive notes because...
But like there was actually like 4 minutes of action between Spanish Fly and Spanish Fly DDT, but mm-hmm. I couldn't keep track of it all.
Yeah, I know.
It was literally a situation I was watching because I was really in the match.
Yeah, I know.
And just like super high spots I was quickly making note of while I was trying to watch it.
Yeah.
Kushida reverses an Os Cutter attempt into the hoverboard lock.
Mm-hmm.
Ospreay gets the ropes. And then Ospreay eventually wins with an Os Cutter,
and is the new junior heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Then, at this point, you know, we usually get somebody coming down for a challenge. In this case, it was the ticking time bomb. He comes down to the ring. He's about to say something, and I guess once you talk, that makes your challenge official. because before he was able to get a word out, the villain out of nowhere grabs his finger, breaks them. And he goes, did you love this bit or
yeah,
what?
It was funny.
This was fantastic because Marty Skrull takes the mic and he goes on this 3-minute promo, basically challenging Ospreay. And the entire time, the ticking time bomb is writhing in pain.
Like he has his fingers in his mouth and just trying to like set his fingers back.
It was just histrionics, complete histrionics. And he was, and then, you know, the challenge is laid down. It's finished. Skrull leaves. Ospreay looks down at time bomb. And goes, I don't know. And leaves. And then he gets up and he's pissed off that he missed out on the opportunity.
He has a fit.
I love that long shot at the end and he's still having a fit.
I know.
I was cracking up. That was so absolutely perfect. Him writhing in pain and nobody acknowledging this has happened. That's what made it comedically great.
The best part about I liked about him writhing in pain, like I mentioned, is like he was trying to like set his fingers back, yeah. But then at some point he had his finger in his mouth to like bite it because it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
But also seemed like it was part to bite it because it hurts so bad and just try to like make something else hurt just so you don't feel that pain.
Right.
Also just help soothe it.
Right.
It was so interesting.
It was so weird. And nobody was paying attention to it.
Oh, but it was so good.
Oh, it was fantastic. Dang it. I love that stuff. It's just everybody seems like they're having an absolute blast there. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like Ricochet's got to be like, man, do I really want to go to the WWE? But he does. Of course he does. Makes a lot of money there.
Well, I'm sure he wants to, you know, he's maybe he thinks he's done a lot in the Indies in New Japan.
Yeah.
So might as well see what he can do on the largest stage of them all.
Yeah.
Next, we had Tetsuya Naito taking on Ishii. And if Ishii won, he would get the contract for the Wrestle Kingdom main event, which we knew wasn't going to happen.
No, it wasn't going to happen. But we also knew this was going to be a brutally awesome match.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. These guys just hurt each other. It's fantastic.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The crowd was hot.
Yeah.
For Naito.
Yeah, they loved it.
Super hot for Naito. And pretty quickly, the commentary team was talking about a knee injury, I think, that Ishii had suffered at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Naito targeted it,
mm-hmm.
went right after it. They were both working over each other's legs just nonstop.
I love the bit where Naito went for the Dusty, or not the Dusty,
oh,
but
yeah,
the
Tranquilo,
early on, you know, early on, and Ishii just jumped on him.
Yeah.
That was great. Because the crowd gasped.
They're
like, whoa, nobody's done that. So that was cool.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Naito kicked out of a brain buster. Naito hit kind of like a modified Destino, followed up with real Destino, got the win.
Yeah.
I mean, these two guys always put on good matches. Their matches at G1 Special was great. The match during the G1 was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I keep coming back to it. The bar is continually set so high from New Japan that when you see a great match, you're like, it's like, okay, expectations fulfilled. I'm happy.
Yeah.
So it takes something like, and it's a bummer, but sometimes, depending on your mood when you're watching the show, that takes something like Ospreay Kushida to really get you to be on the edge of your seat because the bar is set so high, especially at the top of the card in New Japan.
Yeah.
And the main event, Evil versus Okada, was good. They told a good story.
Mm-hmm.
But with Okada, he set such an unrealistically high bar.
And on top of that, you just know that you know where this is headed. So
yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of drama involved.
And it's not like, you know, it's not like Evil doesn't have the reputation that Shibata, Suzuki, obviously Omega, any of those guys, Ibushi, any of those guys have. It's like he's a very good wrestler. But
he's only been in that character for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you kind of knew where this was headed. It was still a really, really good match because it's freaking Okada. I mean, my favorite Cody Rhodes match, like bar none, is his match against him in the G1 Special in USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've never, I mean, Cody just doesn't, wrestling wise, he just really doesn't do it for me.
I noticed in his tag match, I think during the G1 Finals, he was kind of, I feel like he's starting to acclimate his wrestling style more to.
Oh, really?
How New Japan operates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be.
I mean, I assume after you've wrestled for, you know, WWE style for a dozen years or 10 years, however long.
Oh, yeah.
It's going
to
take
a
learning curve in terms of adapting your style to what they do.
I thought this was cracking me. A couple things about this cracked me up. Number one, when Evil went down and did a chokehold, like, and it was just a.
Oh, it was like a rear. It was a rear chin lock.
It was a rear chin lock.
Arm kind of with Okada's arm trapped behind him.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, this is the move that he busted out during the G1 tournament. And I forget what they call it. And he's bringing it out here. And I'm like, it's just a chin. Okay, I know you're New Japan, but sometimes a chin lock is just a chin lock. The Rainmaker is simply a wristlock lariat, but
oh god, it has stank on it.
It has legacy behind it, and the people who sell it sell the crap out of it.
Yeah,
and they make, but you know, that's not quite a chin lock. You know, a chin lock, you're just down there to get rest. Don't act like it's some amazing hold that he's inventing.
When he did that, I thought of the juxtaposition between that and when Suzuki would put just like a knee bar on Okada during their match.
Yeah.
And I know that they had set up Okada's neck injury or potential neck injury leading into this match.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like, maybe it was just the way the chin lock was put on. It had the same impact. But when Suzuki was working over Okada's knee, you thought it was possible at any point that Okada was going to tap out.
Well, yeah, because they made that like the whole story of the thing. He was just going after his knee. And Suzuki's this like dirty old man who, you know, is scrappy and he's been around forever. And he just looks like Suzuki comes off as evil. Evil comes off as a guy trying to act whatever he thinks evil is.
What do you think of his new scythe? He had a new scythe. It was larger.
It's cheesy. It's hilariously cheesy, but yeah. It's cheesy. And they did that like extensive video package.
Yeah.
And, like, to begin, and I was like...
And he had druids come out for his entrance.
He's so goofy. Like, all the dressing up in the world isn't going to mask the fact that you're kind of a goofy mid-carder.
It stands out even more because pretty much everybody else in New Japan, like, their characters are just them.
Yeah, I know.
They're people.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be this larger than life supernatural type.
And it just, and he wears a singlet. I don't know what can help with that. If he had something cooler on. Like look at Tai Chi. Okay, when he comes out, he looks cool.
Yeah. He has layers on though. Part of it. He has the robe and he wrestles most of the match in his pants and he tears his pants away to trunks with the
fish. Yeah. Evil's got like a singlet on that it looks like he never washes it.
He had a brand new one on this time.
Did he?
Yeah.
Didn't look that new. I don't know. I'm just not, I you know, I think he's a good addition to LIJ because he looks cool. Where was Sonata again?
He was in the opening match.
Oh, was he?
He was hardly in it.
Oh, we mentioned that already. Okay.
Yeah, he did a like a cross over the top rope cross body during the match. He just jumped over the top rope. It was cool.
I mean, honestly, I missed that first match.
Oh, okay.
I just faked it.
Oh, good job. But yeah, this was a fine match, and they did tell the story of Evil trying to work over Okada's neck enough to help him score the victory, but he could never get his finisher off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like Okada's thing is of late is he could take a beating and he does enough to avoid the finisher. And at the end, he'll hit three Rainmakers and win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Evil tried for his finisher at least two or three times and Okada each time found a way to reverse it into something. Yeah.
Then he hit it, but then it was the thing where he's too tired to...
I don't think Evil ever hit it.
It's the...
No, the STO, the thing where he puts...
Okay.
Darkness Falls is like his signature.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, he hit it on the chair during the ref bump.
Mm-hmm.
On the chairs.
Cheers.
I guess the drama on this match was how far they were going to go with the Okada's neck injury storyline to in advance of the Wrestle Kingdom main event, because that's coming into play.
I know. I wonder if it's going to be one of those matches that really, really hurts to watch.
Like Omega Naito?
Yeah, probably is. But anyways, I don't know. It was a fun card.
Yeah.
What's next? I mean, I know like the Okada's not going to defend the title again. Is there a major show between now?
I think it's Power Struggle. I think it's what
Power Struggle.
My laptop died, so I can't look it up on there.
Power Struggle
2017.
Let's find out.
I don't know when it is, but they were mentioning it last night.
There we go. It is happening.
Looks like November.
November 5th.
So yeah, the main event's Tanahashi and
Ibushi. Ooh, I might stay up for that one. That should be cool. I love staying up for these. It's hard to.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that. And then I assume, it's the final major event before
Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom. Ooh.
That's cool.
Very exciting. I can't believe we're already getting to the end of this crappy year, man. What a mess of a year, 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for wrestling, though.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. What do we got coming on later in the day?
We're going to stream some WWE
2K18. Oh, we're starting my career.
Yeah.
We're starting my career.
Create our wrestler.
Yeah. Watch us do that at twitch.tv/Steven Larson.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.